Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Lord, thank you for being so mighty and awesome. Lord, we praise you. We stand in awe, Lord. You are awesome, awesome God. Thank you, Lord, for all the worlds you created. Lord, for your creative genius in making us and molding us and bringing us through hard times, joyful times, lean times, times of plenty. Lord, you never ever left us or forsook us. And Lord, we're glad about it. Thank you, Lord, for being our shield and exceeding great reward, our very present help in the time of trouble, the strong tower we can run to and be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name. Bless your holy name, Lord. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah, for your hand of mercy. We praise you. We lift you up and worship you, Lord, because you're worthy of all the praise. Lord, you inhabit, you show up in the praises of your people. So, Lord, our boast is in you. We lift you up, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Bless your name. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the aches and pains, the ups and downs, Lord. Misunderstandings, our Lord, because I know you allow these things, Lord. Hallelujah, so that we can be strong spiritually. So thank you, Lord. We know you work things together for the good, for those who love you and the called according to your purpose. Hallelujah. It's not our purpose. It is your purpose. Lord, thank you for being able to piggyback on your purpose and your authority, Lord. Just like a car with a dead battery, Lord, your power gets us back to going. And Lord, we just want to stay connected in a powerful way to you. Lord, thank you for this day's journeys for Bread of Heaven, all the people connected to, all the families represented. Lord, you have been good to us, and we're glad about it. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing Elder Matheny, my pastor friend down in Atlanta. Let him get out of the hospital. He's been ill, and you have taken him through the chemotherapy. And Lord, he's still kicking. He's still getting on Facebook and preaching. So Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the blessings of the saints, Lord. We lift you up. Lord, you are an awesome God and mighty in all of your deeds and works. Lord, you do all things well. We come into your presence, Lord, hallelujah, because grace brought us here. Your name, hallelujah, is how we come. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We, Sister First Lady, and I never would have thought, Lord, we'd have 11 grandchildren. But, Lord, you have provided. You have blessed us. And Lord, we thank you. So bless those on the call. Sanctify your word tonight, Lord, as we go forth with it. Touch every soul. Lord, let your word make some inroads into some areas that hadn't been quite brought into subjection. Hallelujah. And Lord, some of your people are walking around with a domesticated faith. Hallelujah. A faith that is small, a faith that is tentative, a faith that's conditional. But Lord, we ask, Lord, through your word and through the gathering of the saints and through the power of your spirit, hallelujah, that somebody will make up their mind, hallelujah, to not let their faith be like a little domesticated, sweet little puppy. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Well, good to see you, saints. I'll give you the topic in a minute. The subject, the general theme that we're going to talk about is love. The topic, I think it's appropriate to read a scripture before I tell you the topic. So we're going to turn over to a scripture in the book. Let's see. Here, Matthew 5. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm just going to read the one scripture, one verse right now. We'll come back to it. It's going to be hard for you to understand the topic from just reading this one verse. Trust me, you'll get both parts of the topic as we read the scripture. Verse 41, Matthew 5:41, part of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, it starts out with the Beatitudes and goes into other things, the Lord's Prayer. And here we are in verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, or go with him two. The idea, as you study this, is that the children of Israel were under occupation. And so a soldier by law, a Roman soldier by law, could ask them or compel them to carry their soldiers' gear for a mile by law because they were occupied. And here Jesus is teaching them that if you are compelled to go 1 mile, go two, to go further, to go into the second mile. So the topic is love and the second mile. So we'll, with God's help, we're tied in. I want to give you some love scriptures. Then we're going to come back to the scripture in Matthew 5 that I just read, some of the context scriptures around it. Love and the second mile. John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus talking, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another, and this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one to another. So love, hallelujah, is a commandment. Love is an identifier. Hallelujah. You can't claim to be a disciple if you don't have love. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So love speaks of action. God so loved the world that he gave. So it is action. It's not an emotional feeling. And an emotional feeling can be a byproduct of it. But love itself is unconditional. Hallelujah. God's love. In deed and in truth. Hallelujah. So in action and in truth, don't be playing. Don't be talking like you love somebody so well. You know, you might love them a little bit, but don't act like, I love you. Oh, Lord, I've been over here doodling your name. Don't lie about it. Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So faith works by love. It operates by love. Hallelujah. Love is the propulsion of faith. It's the booster engine of faith. So you can't really have faith, biblical faith, the faith that the Lord requires of us, without love. It works by love. Hallelujah. We'll get to another scripture that amplifies that. Now we're back to the Matthew scripture. I'm going to start a little earlier. I hope you don't get sidetracked by some of the examples Jesus gave, because I don't want to really spend a whole lot of time on that. When we get to the break, we can get into it, because it talks about an eye for an eye and stuff like that, and turning the other cheek. And, you know, we Black folks, we, you know, it's hard for us to turn the other cheek. But so Matthew 5:38, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Remember who our real enemy is. It's not the person that's cutting the monkey and acting the fool. There's a spirit behind it. And we're not wrestling with human beings, but we're wrestling with principalities and powers. And so there's a balance there. Our moderation should be known to all men. So, you know, sometimes you have to stand up. But the principle is, know who your enemy is. And it's not the person who's lying on you. They have allowed themselves to be tricked and used by Satan into that role, that appearance, but there's a spirit behind the person. That's why we can love them, because it's not really them. It's the sin that's in them. It's the way that they have yielded their members and allow the enemy to use them. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And here again, verse 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. If your boss changes your hours and requires you to be there instead of 7:30, requires you to be there at 7, why don't you show up at 6:45? Why don't you go an extra mile? Don't be in there pouting mad because they change. Either quit or get you another job. Or if you're going to stay there, come in there with the can-do Holy Ghost attitude and come a little earlier than requested. Even though it might be an unreasonable request, maybe they should have asked somebody else to come in early. Maybe you have more seniority or whatever. It's not really relevant. You want to be found in second mile territory when you are representing Jesus Christ, right? That's where you want to be. That's how God gets the glory out of you. That's how you get into a realm with God, into a level of fellowship with God, where you can talk to him. And sometimes talking to the Lord with pure frankness, because we're casting our cares on it, gives us some relief before the circumstance changes, you know? How many times, and you can do some kind of, I think you can do a hand signal electronically or something. If you want to do that, it's fine. I'm not asking anybody to say anything. How many times Have you been troubled or disappointed, maybe even discouraged? And all you wanted, the thing that you longed for most, was just to have somebody you could trust to talk to, right? Well, the Lord is always there. You can talk to him. Hallelujah. And if you need to talk to a human being, the Lord will show you who to go to. He might even put somebody that you didn't expect. Maybe some long lost friend, somebody from high school. You might run into them. And the Lord said, that's who you talk to. The Lord give you that unction. All right. But the relationship with the Lord is not built on barely making it. Always hanging on by your fingernails, barely getting to church on time, walking in like you're going you're walking the Green Mile to the electric chair, walking in all slow and all, and instead of the excitement that we should have about being able to be in the sanctuary. Oh, one more time. I realize things are going on. Sometimes our bodies are aching and all that. I'm not trying to say anything about that. I'm just talking about the spirit, the hunger and thirst for righteousness, the wanting to be the one that the Lord uses, wanting to be the one who shows up, wanting to be the one found in second mile territory. Hallelujah. Give to him that asketh thee. I'm going to read some more of the scripture so you can clearly see the love connection. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Why is that? You're gonna live in second mile territory. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, because true love, hallelujah, propels you into second mile territory, takes you places and situation that maybe we would not have chosen, but for the love we have for the Lord, the love we have for our brothers and sisters, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his son, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Why are you trying to judge how you should treat somebody? That's God's business. You're supposed to love everybody. And if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? He said, basically, let me break it down to people who don't even trust God, love their own families typically. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Hallelujah. In other words, be perfectly committed to follow Jesus and to go into second mile territory. Don't just do the bare minimum and say, oh, I love you so much, Lord. Hallelujah. What if we did our brothers and sisters like that? What if we did our families like that? For those of us who are married, what if we did our spouses like that? You know? So suppose my wife had a cold or something. And she said, will you fix me some hot tea? I said, yes, honey. Yes, dear. And I go and I fix the hot tea. And I don't just, you know, try to find, just grab the first stale thing of the tea I see. I look on it, make sure it's not expired. I get some I know she likes. I get some nice little honey to go with it. Put some lemon drops in it, because I know she like it like that, you know. Let the bubbles go, let it steep. stir it up real good, right? Have it ready, piping hot for when I take it to her. And I have some napkins, you know, I just, you know, I full service. I'm a full service guy, you know? And bring the stuff to her with a spirit of, I'm glad to do it. How else can I serve you? Well, that's how we're supposed to treat the work of the Lord. That's how we're supposed to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, the scripture is not telling us to be a doormat. It's telling us to walk in the humility and the commitment of going into second mile territory and to walk in real love, not fake love. There are times when the love has to get a little tough, right? When you have to say no, when there has to be a little tough love, when you have to tell somebody, oh, wait up, hold up here, that's not acceptable. Yeah, there are times. But what the principle here is, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the one that you serve. And in serving the Lord, in living in second mile territory, you know what you do? You point people to Jesus. They said, this brother is real. This sister is real, right? And if this brother is real, and if this sister is real, what the word says, and what the preacher been saying, and what the teacher been saying, must be real also. And God must be real. He's not on Mars. He's not in, you know, stuck in the past. He's here, and he won't leave me or forsake. He's available. He's interested in intervening in my life. He wants me to have peace. He wants me to have joy. He wants me, hallelujah, to have breakthroughs in my life. So let me give you another scripture. The topic tonight is love and the second mile. Now, so what I'm trying to say, what I'm a lawyer, I'm sneaky, I'm tricky, you know, I've been trained, you know, I'm trained by the best, you know. If you're not willing to go the second mile, if you're not practicing second mile discipleship, maybe your love is not where it's supposed to be. How about that? How about me sneaking that one in on you? All right. 1 John 4:7-21. Let me say something else about second mile. I remember the 24th chapter of Luke. It was Resurrection Sunday, the first Easter Sunday. And then these two disciples decide toward the evening to head back to Emmaus, the village of Emmaus. It's not a long way away. They were walking. And then the stranger, who turned out to be Jesus, but they could not recognize him. They knew him. If his identity had not been shielded from them, they would have recognized him, right? So they go on the way to Emmaus, and Jesus says, why are you sad? And he said, are you a stranger in these parts? You had not heard? And they gave a little bit of the background about Jesus. And then Jesus went on and preached from the only Bible they had, Old Testament, concerning himself. And they get to the place where they're going to go in, and Jesus is going like he's going to keep on walking. And then those two brothers said, why don't you come on in for some more fellowship? You know, it's good to walk on the road with Jesus. It's good to come to the church. Let me give you now. It's good to come to the church. But do you want to go into the prayer closet? Do you want to go into closer fellowship? Do you want to go to a second mile? Do you want to go to another area of intimacy on a public road? That's good. They invited him into the house. He went in. They had some bread. when he broke it, they recognized him. And then he kind of just left their sight. Hallelujah. Then they were so excited. Didn't our hearts burn within us? When he talked to us on the way, they went back to Jerusalem to tell the other brethren about what had happened. That's another second mile. Second mile to want to have the fellowship not end. I had many times when you don't want the fellowship to end with the Lord. You don't want the fellowship to end with the saints. You know, me and Deacon Rod, we lock up the building, you know, when church is open. But neither one of us minds when y'all are hanging out with each other, talking with each other. Hallelujah. It's beautiful, right? We want the Holy Ghost party to continue in the spirit in which the Lord wants us to operate. Hallelujah. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And love will take you into second mile territory. Not just to make some hot tea for somebody, but go extra miles. Go places that maybe you would not have chosen, right? I don't know. Well, let me rephrase it. First Lady Renita Perkins would never have moved to Columbus, Ohio on her own. She wasn't just like, let me, eeny, meeny, miny, more, let me test the map where I want to go after I, as a newlywed, as a 19-year-old newlywed, and I was 21. But I talked to her about it beforehand. I said, I've got this scholarship to go to Ohio State Law School. We can go up there and I can go to law school, but I can't work the first year because of the American Bar Association credentialing guidelines for law school. And that's where it was back then. I couldn't work the first year, but I could work in the summer. I could work up to 15 hours a week the second and third year. I said, I can't work. Now, you know me. I work. You've seen me work two jobs even as a teenager. I'll work. I've got a good job at UPS. I'm a part-time supervisor. Pretty sure I can go to full-time. I can go to law school anytime. I can go to night law school here in Nashville. I talked to all of that before we moved. And she thought about it, I think about a day. And she said, let's go to Columbus. She went the second mile with me, right? I wasn't going to insist. I was wise, you know. If I had tried to push it, she would have said, no. But I didn't handle it that way. I handled it with prayer. And we got to go. I wanted to go because I didn't want to wonder about what would have happened had I gone. But I didn't want to go bad enough to drag my new wife up there if she wasn't willing to go. And she had said, Russell, I really don't want to leave my mom and them and whatever. I said, okay. Because I'm going to work. I'm going to eventually go to law school. The Lord allows. And we're gonna be fine. And the Lord worked it out. She went the second mile for me. And over the years, I have tried to go the second mile for her. That's what love does, right? And the love of God in terms of how we deal with each other. Now we represent Christ is important. And the topic is love and the second mile. They go together, right? I mean, better than peanut butter and jelly. Better than whatever else you like to put together, right? Steak and potatoes, whatever. It's better than that. You can't really have one without the other. If you have love, you're going to be going in second mile. For 18 years, our family drove out to another county out in the country, out in the sticks, to worship the Lord, right? It was a commitment. It got to the point that I realized we're going to have to drive two cars, right? We had four step children, right? And hard time getting ready, whatever. I said, Renita, I'm the assistant pastor of the church. I got to be there on time. We did not have the money to drive one car down. Really? You drove two down there. After a while, they started taking up a speaker's offer when I spoke for me. It'd be $5-6, some change or something. I laughed about it when we were heading back. Don't you know I was glad for that? I wasn't doing the work for that. I was getting paid in joy. Hallelujah. But sometimes God would give you a little something, just a token of appreciation that will help you get over whatever hump is down the road. And I thank the Lord for that. And God allowed me to get to the church early. I would get there as much as 2 hours before service to pray. So when my pastor came down there, she lived on the same grounds in the house. What I consider to be an elderly lady, I'm about her age, when we first started out down there. So I didn't want her to come down there to a cold church or to a hot church without the lights on. And I wanted to have that place anointed before my pastor got there. Why? I loved her. I was thankful for the opportunity. I had done nothing in my life to deserve this. I had no background. There were no preachers in our family. There was one great uncle by marriage who was a Sunday school teacher. That's it. I didn't have a pedigree. Wasn't raised in the church. I wasn't thinking about second mile then, but that's what it was. But the hunger and thirst after righteousness, trying to get myself together. I knew I needed some help, right? I need to get some dysfunction out of my life, right? And God bless, right? Verse 9, 1 John 4. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin, the atonement. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That means we have to take stuff we don't want to take. Any person that has been married for any length of time, you have taken some you didn't want to take. Might have been some you swore you weren't going to take. But you, especially if you're walking with the Lord, you pray over it and say, Lord, help me deal with this. Help me to be honorable in this. Help me to be what you want me to be in this. And it's nothing easy about it, but God is so great. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 12, no man have seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and love, his love is perfected in us. We become exhibit A for the world. We become exhibit A for the people in our family that we want to get saved. We become the living epistle to be learned and read of men. And it is the love, hallelujah, that propels us into second mile territory, propels us into the role of an example and a witness, hallelujah. And even sometimes when we're not altogether conscious of it, the fact that we are walking in love points people to the true vine. Why is that? So everybody got some vines in their life. The vines of a divorce, the vines of an unhappy childhood, the vines of things that we're caught up in, the vines of disappointment, the vine of mama loves my other brother, you know, or my cousin more than she loved me, or whatever it is. Hallelujah. They got the vines, right? And we want to point people through word and deed, loving words and loving deeds. That's why he says, speak the truth in love, because that is what points people to the true vine. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he have given us of his spirit. I like that. I got a helping of it. I got a dose of his spirit. I got a pour out. Hallelujah. I got a pour over. I got a pour in. Hallelujah. Of his spirit. And guess what? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Isn't that good? And God in him. Isn't that the highest place, the most wonderful place, that us frail, difficult, fleshy human beings can dwell? Isn't that a privilege? Hallelujah. Mm-mm. It's like some bad person, worse criminal, low down person being invited to the king's house and treated like a esteemed guest. God's love for us brings us to that. We have to receive it. And we, in receiving that pour out, hallelujah, we have to be committed to go the second mile for him. We can't forget what he's done for us. We can't begin to read our own clippings because God has blessed us and think. I think it was Bishop Noel Jones, he says, there's a difference between achieving something and receiving something. Don't get it twisted. We are receivers by God's grace. He gets the glory. Our boast is in him. Mm-mm-mm. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Here's another example. I talked about, if you're not willing to go second mile, if you're not living in second mile territory, that indicates that maybe your love is not where. And if you are fearful, that's an indicator that you got to work on your love a little bit. That doesn't mean that you have the will of God in such a way that you can't get back. It just means that through self-examination, that is a guidepost that you need, that shows you, oh, okay, I got to ask God to help me with this. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is what? A liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. See the juxtaposition between fear and love? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. And here, starting here, we know that there are nine fruit of the Spirit. I'm just going to make a quick correlation between the fruit of the Spirit. We know that love is one. So the other eight are going to be exemplified in these next few verses. At the end of each verse, there's overlap, but I'll identify. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Long-suffering, gentleness, and meekness are indicated in that. 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, goodness, temperance, and peace. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, joy. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, faith or faithfulness. So I just named all eight of them in a few verses, and that shows you that love, hallelujah, is the chief thing. And that the other fruit of the Spirit, and we have to have the fruit of the Spirit. We do not have to have all the gifts of the Spirit. An individual could have one gift or no gifts of the Spirit, but we have to all have all the fruit of the Spirit as part of our salvation, as part of our evidence that we belong to Jesus. Verse 8, charity, love, never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. When I grew up in the Lord, hallelujah, I put away the toys. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, which is love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, love, hallelujah, love, and the second mile is the topic. I'm opening it up for questions or comments, brief testimonies at this time.
I have a testimony, Pastor. Praise the Lord, church family.
Praise the Lord, Sister Shakola.
For most of you, ladies and gentlemen, may not know, I had some family issues with my sister. She's been dealing with mental health, and my nephew was put into CPS. I did pray to God and ask him, was it something that I should have done, or should I just let someone else take control? And he blessed me with my nephew, Zachary. So I'm thankful and grateful that he's in my life. And my sister is A-okay, but there's more help that's going to be needed. So just wanted to give a testimony to that. And also my father is 7 months clean. as well. So God is working on our family. So I just want to say thank you, Lord, for what you're doing.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Chico. Beautiful testimony. Anybody else? Testimonies, comments? Hallelujah.
Praise
Praise the
the
Lord.
Lord, Kurt. Sister Nia here.
Praise the Lord.
I want to first and foremost just piggyback off of what Sister Carla was saying and just thank God for continuing to be with her and blessing her in the ways that He has. For those who don't know, she's my cousin, more like a sister, more like a bestie. But I've just been seeing her growth over the years, especially from a child, and just seeing the things that God has been doing in her life. And just thankful. Nobody is more ready for the role that she's taking on with her nephew than she is. We've always joked about her being thinking she's somebody mama all the time, and she finally is getting to be that, and she's experiencing it, and she knows I'm here with her every step of the way, being a mom of three. And any questions that she has, she's able to call me. And I got her back 110%. So I just want to thank the Lord for that, and also thank God for continuing to align your word, Pastor P, that He gives you with everything that I'm doing on my end. I was recently reading the book of James, reading First John here over the past few days, and yeah, man, he been doing this thing, man, talking about love. Another prayer call that I've been in, we've been talking about peace and how to be slow to anger and things like that. And those of you who know, on some past prayer calls, Bible study calls, I have been asking for the Lord to work with me on my anger. So, just praise the Lord for continuing to show up and show out, man. Like He's been doing His thing here lately, and all glory be to God.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Wonderful testimony. Anybody else? Testimony, question, comments? Floor is open. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah, praise the Lord, Pastor Perkins and all of Bread of Heaven. Thank the Lord for the Bible class tonight, the scriptures that are given, all good, relevant scriptures. A simple definition, and I like keeping things simple because I got a simple mind. But a simple definition for agape: simply to show love. To show love. And it's not a part-time thing. It's full-time, and it's something that we all, I know myself, I have got to be conscious and intentional in looking for ways that I can show God and can show that characteristic. And I'm just saying, for me, without the Holy Ghost that I've had for 38 years, I would not be able to show that love and be able to express it without the Lord's Spirit. And fifth chapter of Romans, I think you quoted it, for the love of God is poured out in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. When we get filled with the Holy Ghost, comes His love. And you can't understand it or really describe it until you have experienced it. Till you have experienced the love of God that is shed abroad, that is poured out in you through His Spirit. And it's the love that allows you, and you look at, to go the extra mile. Like the scripture you started, your foundational scripture, Saint Matthew 5:41. If you're asked, if a man asks you to go 1 mile, you go what? You go two. Whether you feel like it or not, see, it's that love that urges you and pushes you, whether you feel like it or whether you are certain about it.
Somebody's not on mute. Somebody's not on mute. Check your phones.
Or even how you feel about that individual. It doesn't matter. It's that love of God that can cover a multitude of sins, things that have been done to me, things that have been said to me. It can cover and allow me to do the things I need to do to help my enemy, to love the ones that curse me. That's a high standard that the Lord has set. And we can spend the rest of our lives meeting that standard. Pray for those that despitefully, purposely use you and persecute you. Boy, that is high. And of my own self, I cannot do that. It takes God's spirit in me to even give me a mind to do it. And that scripture, I love the Beatitudes. I love all these scriptures that you have given. And I say, the Lord tells you to go to, because a lot of times an individual may not want to ask you to go to 2 miles. The individual, most individuals that are not looking to take advantage whenever they can, they're not going to maybe even ask you for everything that they need. And so
that's so true, Elder. So true. Go ahead. I'm saying amen. Saying,
the Lord is letting us know to go the whole way and beyond. If they ask you to go 1 mile, you go 2. You go the whole way and you go beyond to make sure that the need of that individual is met. If that makes sense. And the Lord had to show me that. And, you know, I Lord put on my mind for this year, and I said it with my, I guess it was kind of like a New Year's resolution. In 2025, I want to be a difference maker. Every week, I want to make a difference. I want the Lord to allow me to make a difference in somebody's life in some way. And to me, it may not be something that's monumental, but it may be a big thing for somebody else. Or it may be a big thing for me, because right off the bat, when I said that, the next week, somebody didn't have their mortgage payment in my family. And I had to do that. And the Lord allowed me to be able to, and believe me, in the past, I wouldn't have gone halfway. I wouldn't even go on. It would have been a second guess. I may have even told them, like the Levite and the priest. I may have just listened, looked on, and tried to push it off and go the other way. But I knew that, and I did. I said, "Well, I can give you maybe half. I can give you maybe half." You know, so great scriptures, great Bible class, this love, bottom line, agape, to show love. I just talk it, but we show it. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Perkins.
All right. I'm going to read this article that I found some years ago, and I saved it. It's going to have an example from history of going the second mile, and it's going to have an example from the Bible. And the only way I can do it is read it. Summarizing it wouldn't do it justice. The article is written by a man named Ron Walters, who is a pretty prominent minister. Charles Simeon, take note of it, that name, Charles Simeon, was not your typical pastor, although I wish he were, and his congregation, Holy Trinity Church on the campus of Cambridge University, most of you may know that that's in England, was not your normal church. I'm glad it's not. Zoom in and you'll see what I mean. 200 years ago, Cambridge students were required to attend church and periodically receive the Lord's Supper. Charles Simeon, a 1779 Cambridge freshman, was not a Christian, but somehow understood the importance of communion. to prepare himself, he purchased the only religious book he'd ever heard of, Whole Duty of Man. And before long, he fell to his knees, crying out for God's mercy. It was a true conversion from which Simeon would never recover. Upon graduation, Simeon, with an assist from his influential father, was ordained and appointed pastor of Holy Trinity Church at Cambridge. It was Simeon's dream job, but not for long. It's hard to imagine the isolation for an evangelical pastor in the halls of Cambridge during the late 1700s, just 3 years after his conversion. Alone with his newfound faith, he wrote, "I longed to know some spiritual person who had the same views and feelings. I even considered putting an ad into the papers that would read, 'I'm a young clergyman who feels himself an undone sinner. I've looked to Jesus alone for salvation, and I desire to live only to make the Savior known. I'm hopeful there's someone out there whose beliefs agree with mine, but after 3 years, I've found none.' To make matters worse, the congregation of Holy Trinity didn't want him to be their pastor. Church members boycotted his services, and pew holders, back then you could buy pews, locked their pews. To provide seating, Simeon placed benches in the aisles, but the wardens threw them out. At times, the church leaders locked the doors, preventing him from the services. He got locked out of his own church. Rowdy university students protested Simeon's preaching with obscenities and riots, and Simeon was pelted with rotten eggs as he left church. The faculty treated him with contempt. They slandered and ostracized him. Why all this abuse? Because Simeon faithfully and consistently taught the truth of man's sinfulness and the bountiful forgiveness available in Christ. But how much can one man take? Even godly pastors have a breaking point. One day, Simeon took a long walk in the woods to offer God his resignation. "I can't take it anymore, Lord. I just can't." Finding a stump to sit on, he randomly opened his Bible, hoping for divine confirmation. Instead, his Bible fell open to one lone verse. They found a man of Cyrene, Simeon, you know, his last name is Simeon, Simeon by name, and forced him to carry Christ's cross. Charles Simeon, an exhausted and defeated pastor, finally saw his situation through different eyes. "Lord, lay it on me. Lay it on me. I will gladly carry the cross for your sake." Gradually, the tide turned. Growing numbers of students, impressed by his courage, came to hear him speak. Pew holders, amazed at his determination, reopened their pews. Fellow professors, curious about his tenacity and intellect, came to learn and admire. For 54 years, he remained pastor of Holy Trinity Church. Finally, at age 77, Simeon was called into God's presence. He had become so loved that when he died, all shops in Cambridge closed, university lectures were suspended, and mourners lined four deep all around the college, waiting to pay their final tribute to the faithful pastors. Some pastorates are more difficult than others. Yours may be one of them. But like Simeon, being willing to carry the cross for Christ's sake. And then he concluded this article by saying blessings. So Charles Simeon, the pastor, he went the second mile. And then when he opened that scripture, there was a man called Simeon of Cyrene, who certainly went the second mile, carrying the cross of Jesus. The question is, Are there areas of our lives where we need to go a little bit deeper and further with the Lord? A little bit more commitment, a little bit more determination, more willingness to get past obstacles. Surely the Lord can identify those areas for us and help us to be more mindful. All right, questions, comments at this time?
It's me again, Pastor Perkins and church family. I just want to say continue to pray for me, me and my family. And we do love you guys. And thank you for tonight's Bible study.
Thank you, sister. We certainly will continue to pray for you.
This is Sister Carol. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
I just want to say also, too, that I'm enjoying the Bible study and all the comments and kind of like to help go to Second Mile. You know, what I talked about, you know, my supervisor that, that you know, was harassing me and moved me from my position, you know, which I love doing the groups. It was on an 8-hour shift to put me back on the floor where I had to stand like 13 hours and everything. And she just moved me. It was because she didn't like me, but she had been harassing me for a long time. So she got an opportunity. Another nurse, you know, came in and wanted to come in and to do the groups, and she put her in my place instead. And to go to Second Mile with that, not to have any hatred or bitterness in my heart, because it's so easy for it to set in. What I did was I prayed for her, you know, like I would pray for myself or like I would pray for one of my family members. You know what I mean? Just so yeah. That, just so no ill feelings, no bitterness, no resentful, you know, no hatred, you know, would creep in and everything. And that truly helped me in everything. To go to Second Mile. And now the nurse that took my place, she's in the hospital with a bowel obstruction and a urinary tract infection. And I'm praying for her too. And they're asking me now, you know, to come back and do the groups. They want me back, but I'll be up under the same manager. So if y'all could pray for me, you know, I would love to go back. I love doing that. But to go back on the same manager, y'all would pray for me that, you know, that I would make the right decision. But in my heart, I want to go back.
Don't worry about that manager. Just prayerfully consider the opportunity and put the manager off to the side. Say, Lord, what will you have me to do? And you'll do the right thing. Anybody else? Questions, comments, brief testimonies?
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Minister Malone, if you're available, I know you got a baby with you. I'll get you to close us out tonight.
Amen. Yes, sir. I'm available.
All right. Any closing remarks? Not mandatory, but I do want to give you the opportunity and then to close us out in prayer, Minister Malone.
I wasn't going to say anything. She said, hi, Sister Nia. but just a quick mini praise report. Well, I'm going to make it quick so we can pray. Amen. First, my husband is stateside. So, amen. Praise after that.
Hallelujah.
So I'm hoping he'll be home sooner than take his time coming home so I can clean the house. And then he but today the praise report I wanted to say was Samantha got a call from her doctor. When Samantha was in the hospital in November, they had her meds being administered around the clock, 24 hours a day. And I was doing that for a couple months and getting absolutely no sleep, but trying to keep giving her meds as they were doing in the hospital, but they were taking shifts. I didn't have shifts. And then I think it was the end of December, first of the year, they changed her med regimen to doing 12 hours a day, every 2 hours for the first 12 hours of the day, which was still taxing, But it was better because we were able to sleep at night. But it was still taxing. It's like, if go anywhere, gotta make sure I have her meds, extra medicine to give her. Well, we got the call today that they have removed one of her medications. They have decreased how much she's getting, and she only gets to administer 4 times a day, and there's no time limit, long as she gets those four medicines. So we are, this is a huge,
Lord.
A huge weight off mama's shoulder. But we praise God because God is doing it. And I believe he gonna heal it. And I say, I've said it, and I know someone tried to correct me, but I said, no, I said what I said. I say, what they've diagnosed her with, it's okay. And I'm believing by time she's 2, that they won't find any trace of it. And I say 2 because how does medicine progress? How do they find cures of things? So let them do their tests. Let Samantha be the miracle, the exception to the disease that man has placed on her to show that God can heal. Amen. Amen. So let us pray.
Amen. Amen. One other thing before you pray. Forgot to mention, Elder Holden has the flu. He's doing some better. But if you would remember that, along with Sister Shikola's prayer request and any other prayer requests that you would like to address.
Amen.
All right. God bless.
Yes, sir. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, Jesus. We sincerely glorify your holy name, Jesus. You are a great and mighty God, and there is none like you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for the word tonight, Jesus. We thank you for our word bearer, oh God, dissecting and giving us the word.
Jesus.
God, that your word will rest and dwell on good ground in the name of Jesus. That it will bring up fruit in due season, that we are exemplifying your love in the earth, being hands and feet in the earth, Jesus, showing your love, going, amen, the extra mile in the name of Jesus, that souls will be drawn. Your word says, if you be lifted up, that you will draw all men. And as we lift you up and glorify your name and be light in dark places, we're praying for a great drawing in the name of Jesus. Draw from the shadows. Draw from the corner. Draw from the sidelines. Draw right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, for the outspoken request of Sister Shikola and her family. We know that you are God and you make no mistake. You prepare your people, oh God, and you prepared her for this time to care for her nephew. And we pray that you will continue to give her the wisdom, unlocking your mysteries, oh God, the patience and the strength, oh God, to nurture her nephew in the fear and the admiration of you, Jesus. We thank you, oh God. We pray for her sister, oh God. You are a mind regulator, Jesus. There is nothing that you cannot do, oh God. You can heal. You can make whole. You can restore. You can repair. And we pray, oh God, for a shifting even now, at this very moment, in the name of Jesus, that you will be God. Be God in the situation, in the name of Jesus. Cover the family. Knit them together, oh God, with one mind, one spirit, in the name of Jesus. We pray for Elder Holden, oh God, for his healing, divine healing right now in the name of Jesus. We know that there's a strand of flu or sickness going on, but we bind it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All these bird flus and COVID, oh God, you are sovereign, Jesus. You are on the throne. Hallelujah. You sit high, oh God. And as we continue to enter your presence, you are the medicine that the soul and the spirit desperately needs. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus for a healing like no other. And not just on the man of God, but everyone that is on the line, Jesus, cover us, oh God, as we go out and about in the world, on our jobs and our communities. Hallelujah. COVID has shown how quickness a sickness can spread, but your protection, your covering, the blood of Jesus over us right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, hallelujah, that no sickness, no disease, no manner of pain, oh God, shall come nigh the dwelling of your people. And if it has, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus and send it back to the pits of hell where it's come. We pray, oh God, hallelujah, for everyone that is on this call in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your mighty name. We pray, oh God, for the hearts of your people. They could be doing anything, be anywhere, but we are here on the line for Bible study, and we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the heart and the desire to be here. We thank you, oh God, and continue to draw us. Even as we sleep and slumber, oh God, minister to us, speak to us, Jesus, awake us up, hallelujah, shake our bed, oh God, wake us up, oh God, with a word, hallelujah, with instruction, with guidance, with direction, with insight of your power and your glory, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. We are not shaken by what we see in the world, because we walk by faith and not by sight. We know who our Redeemer is. We know who our Savior is. We know who our covering and protecting is. And if we don't know, his name is Jesus. 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 We thank you, oh God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Powerful prayer, wonderful testimony. God bless y'all. Good night. I love you all very much.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. God bless.
God bless. Have a blessed night in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Love you with the love of Christ.
Amen. Good night. Love y'all.
Night. Love you too.
Love you. Be too. Blessed.
Good night. Good night, y'all.
Good night. Night. First lady.
Good night.
Good night. Everybody be blessed in the name of Jesus.
Living Bread.
Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.